think it's just indicating when the rupa arises, and just indicating that if it's already arisen before that 3, 2, 1, those three bhavanga chittas earlier, then it's not going to continue for a full course because it arose too early. So only the rupa that arises at that moment of the third bhavanga chitta can last for the full course.
So it's when you're fast asleep, there are always rupa which are visible objects appear and not experienced.
But not appearing.
Yeah, but not appearing because the vitichitta doesn't arise. So it's just the same thing.
So it's like all the time there are visible objects arising and falling away, sounds arising, falling away, and it just depends whether there are conditions for karma to experience that object. And also it depends when that rupa has arisen, whether it is possible for karma to experience it. So I think that by giving an order to these, or just mentioning these different bhavanga chittas, is just indicating that the rupa lasts for 17 moments of chitta. So just indicating when it's possible for it to be experienced. But actually it doesn't really matter what the names of the bhavanga chittas, it's just
to describe the 17 moments.
But maybe it's definition by what, because the antita bhavanga is they call the past bhavanga. And the past bhavanga chitta. Why is the past here? I think every
just
chitta
have different names for the three last bhavanga before we teach it then.
And also, vitichitta is defined as the chittas arise in a process. But it, then, in the process, there's still bhavanga chitta, but bhavanga chitta is not the vitichitta. Mm-hmm. So I'm a bit confused.
So it's not vitichitta, it cannot experience the object of seeing, hearing, smelling, or thinking.
Yes, but then the definition is from vitichitta is that chitta arises in
which experiences aramana different from bhavanga? Because bhavanga is not vitichitta. It does not depend on any dharma at all.
Yesterday you mentioned about when you were talking about the impinging, and you were talking about the sampatika dhamma. So what is the sampatika? Can you talk a little bit more about it?
Lucas?
No, the point is that I always omitted that this is in Dhammasangani. When the Dhammasangani starts, it starts with triplets and these couples of realities. The Blessed One classified every reality by pairs or... the point is, I don't know, Alberto must know this, Sapatiga and the other one. Sukhin, do you know? Does anyone know the Pali term, because it's sapatiga impinged on? Or is it impinged on, or how would you translate it?
Yeah, or striking.
Strike.
Striking, yeah.
It's striking or strike.
So can we say then, for example, an example you gave where the visible object arises, but it's not experienced by the vitichitta, it's not experienced by seeing, so there is the sampatiga rupa, visible object, but no conditions for any experiencing of it, no conditions by, no karma for seeing to experience it, so it falls away before there's any vitichitta.
So sampatiga is a verb or is
what? Because yesterday Achan said, you would say something can be touched that week.
Yesterday Achan explained about impinging, like meaning
Some dhamma that can be attached.
So,
visible objects.
Sampatika is a verb, or it's just.
a characteristic.
A characteristic.
Part of the characteristic of that dhamma. The one
a way
that
of classifying.
A way of classifying.
How many of them are sampatika?
But it can also be dosa in different contexts.
Really? Dosa also? Because I
different
hold the
meaning.
Ten, ten of
meaning.
Rupa. I hold the ten of Rupa are sapatika.
Yeah.
The basis
rupa.
And the objects. The
coarse rupa. Yeah.
And coarse rupa are ten of the mina. The coarse rupa are ten, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's the five sense basis, pasada rupa, and its objects, yeah?
Right.
There are seven.
Yeah.
12
course 12. So oral sapatiga, 12 or 10? 12.
12.
And what are the two other ones?
The tangible object you have to
see.
Vichaya rupa.
Hard or soft.
So
you don't call motion or pressure. There are three tangible that can be experienced through body sense. So they are counted as three. So then
quite right.
12. Yeah. And they're coarse rupas, it means different from subtle rupas. All the others are subtle rupas.
16.
So the coarse rupas are can be objects of insight, but it's still not. Are you aware of senses like the seeing sense? I mean, eye sense. It's not so usual for us, but it's still coarse rupa.
And actually what I want to say is sapatiga, because the in Dhamma Sanghani there is the blessed one starts with different characteristics, and this is good to really learn, because some kind of dhammas are sapatiga and some are not. I don't know how to translate it as collision or the quality. That's the some kind of characteristic of reality, because like visible object can collide or impinge on the eye. They both, I think, impinge, collide. That's the characteristic of rupa. It's not like a mental thing, but and in this Dhamma Sanghani there is many of such kind of classifications. Some dhammas are reality, some are hetu, some are nahetu.
Produce and
not ahetu. Something like this. Kusala dhamma, kusala dhamma, avyakata. It helps to consider that.
He likes
it. I love the Dhamma Sanghani.
Matter of classification to help us. That is non-self, as Ajahn always says.
So this characteristic, sampatika, is not the same, it's not classified in the 28 rupas like other lakanas that we have.
Are we learning the way it classified or the characteristic of it as not self? Even if we do not come across the word sapatika or apatika at all, but we can understand the characteristic of reality as it is, like the eye base is different from hardness or other rupa. And for yesterday's question, is there any answer about collision or impinging?
Still considering.
We were still discussing it at breakfast. We were still discussing impingement and contact, and we all agreed we would ask you to explain again. Because we did not understand.
I think that what should be explained is that that can be studied now, because it appears. Otherwise, you keep on thinking and have doubt because it does not appear yet. So when we talk about, no matter sapatika or apatika or collation or contact, at this moment of seeing, the four cannot be missing. The eye base is there, and the visible object is there. It hasn't fallen away yet. And citta and cetasikas are there. That's all that we can know. We cannot experience the contact or the collision or whatever you use that word, but it's there. Because without the eye base, no one can have the seeing to arise, to know that there is a reality that can be seen. Only one reality that can be seen. Hardness cannot be seen, citta, cetasikas cannot be seen. Only this which appears now is just a reality. And we know better about it, that it does not appear, just appear, without anything with it. But the reality with it cannot be seen, but it's there. To know that actually whatever appears must have other realities accompanied too. There cannot be visible object alone. There must be other realities that cannot be experienced through or by seeing or ibis or idol. To know that no one can change the characteristic of realities at all. No revolution. Because no matter how many times we talk about that which is seen, it's that a little bit of more understanding of it as just that which is seen. And it conditioned lots of dream and thinking about it as different things and different situations. And clinging very much.
It was different with the disciples of the Buddha during his time. Whatever they heard, they understood the reality now.
And that's the way Buddha taught. No books, no pages, this section or that section. But it's now that can be understood little by little.
Ajahn once said, read a realities now, mm-hmm. not a books.
Right.
We used to, that was a good reminder. Let's know how to read realities now. You mentioned read realities now.
Okay. If there is nothing appear, can you read?
No.
So whenever anything appear, mm-hmm. to understand it as it is, it's like reading the true nature of it. The true nature of that which is seen is now only a reality. No matter how many pages in the book, or many books, all about that which can be seen is only a reality. With the four primary rupas, but the four primary rupas cannot be seen. So you like the four primary rupas of that which is seen?
I never thought about primary rupas. I consider visible object, I forget about the primary rupas.
Mm-hmm. Because that cannot be experienced together mm-hmm. at all.
But I know there are Mahabuddha Rupa and Supadana Rupa, but it's also that time, it's just like thinking a lot, just thinking, not experience Mahabuddha Rupa at that time, just thinking.
Are you now experiencing one of Mahabhuta Rupa?
In touch.
Forgetful that it's only a reality which cannot be seen, but it can be touched. Only in a moment, and then gone completely. So it seems like one clings to the air, the space of that which is not real, all the time.
So Ajahn, we actually don't need a book. I meant one thing, but I forget. Because not all the time I can have a book with me, or not all the time I can listen to you. So at that moment I have no book, I still can just read realities, isn't it?
Anytime. And listening to Dharma, because someone was talking about listening and the importance of listening to Dharma, but actually there can be listening to Dharma anytime.
It's the same as when you, with a book, also reality.
He asked how.
Because what is meant by listening to the Dharma doesn't mean how many hours you're sitting in discussion or how many hours you go to the foundation. It means the wise considering, the understanding at the moment of hearing or reading or thinking about what one's heard or read. So that is listening. So we can sit here with no listening to Dharma, or you can be playing loud music and there can be listening. It all depends on panya and the wise attention, not the situation.
Sometimes it's good to hear more, sometimes less. It depends on all conditions.
But we don't need to think of the situation again.
Yeah, but for example,
it comes back again
I still prefer to listen Dhamma, because when I see some nice sight or just swimming pool or everything, then I just forget about Dhamma for that moment. I just go and swim. But the Dhamma reminds, you know, but it's true that it's Yoniso and Ayoniso Manasikara, what you mean?
It always comes back to the realities, not situation. That's the point.
Yeah, and a moment of saying Yoniso Manasikara, is it Yoniso Manasikara? See?
Yeah, I mean the Kriya Chitta. No, but I mean the Yoniso Manasikara, when it arises very, very not often.
As much as one can know that there is Manasikara, but as long as it doesn't appear to Panya, can you pinpoint that is a reality which is Manasikara?
Mm-hmm. Even it can be there, it can consider wisely Dhamma, we cannot still know when the
delirious.
Delirious thinking, do you remember?
I remember delirious thinking.
And in Tipitaka, it added some words like in the mouth of death, of king of death, Madhuraja.
Would you explain that?
Death is now.
Excuse
we are.
Me?
Death can come anytime, so it has a big mouth.
Yeah.
we're always
and
in the mouth of death.
With the realist thinking.
Mister, excuse me, when thinking?
With delirious thinking.
Delirious thinking, oh yes, I remember that you explained that in Poland.
Is it Vitata?
Or on DSG, delirious thinking. Yeah.
Excessive thinking?
Manasikara, yoniso manasikara, ayoniso manasikara. What kind of manasikara is now?
That's
high fever.
Yeah, it can be manasikara. It's like attention, for example, to color.
So the point is that if it's just reciting words and terms and Pali, but no understanding now. It's just kind of delirious thinking.
Even delirious thinking, I think it can be kusala sometimes.
No.
That's
not delirious thinking.
But I mean, if we really, we can think really a lot about the terms, and that is more, that can be mixed or even kusala. But I understand what Ajahn means, because it means not enough right understanding to really know an object.
It means it's just nonsense at that time, no meaning, because there's no understanding, no kusala. So even though the terms and the labels may sound good or correct, actually, if there's no understanding,
it may be differently. Who knows?
It's dangerous then. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I know what you mean now about the terms. We think a lot about just the words. And we, like a blinded people, we just talk about just the terms. But it's not always a kusala. It can be also kusala somehow. Even there is no right understanding, because it can be some kind of, even the world, a wise consideration of that. For example, usually I think about a nice girl, or something, for example. And then I hear a Dhamma, and even I hear just a word or something, I can be more glad. Or it's not like the wanting to, it's just the somehow of impression that this is like this and this is like that.
So in the moments of wise reflection, then it's not delirious, but when she refers to delirious, it's when it's just thinking like a mad person without any understanding.
At that point, I'm quite patient, because it's really, the thinking is really not anyone control, and we listen Dhamma and all the kinds of thinking comes. But even the understanding, because, for example, I cannot know the visible object, because this is so high understanding that must grow first. And I think this vitaka and everything what is now, even a little consideration of Dhamma, it's better than me going somewhere to swimming pool or something. But I appreciate even just even this delirious thinking, really, on Dhamma. That's how I feel, at least, that.
Is delirious thinking about Dhamma any different than delirious thinking about what you're going to have for lunch?
I think that Dhamma have something in itself. The kind of concept can really help to understand. But like, for example, seeing nice food, it's lobha mostly.
It's not delirious thinking if there's wise attention and some element of panya. I think we're talking about things like blindly, not blindly, almost absent-minded reciting of something.
Ajahn, that's delirious thinking can be understood, like thinking, just thinking.
But so can understand
what
you're having for
lunch. Yeah.
Dhamma.
Yeah.
You understand Dhamma, not words.
Yeah, of course. But you know what, I still have this feeling that even just a little of consideration of Dhamma is much better in my example than thinking about some bad things or useless thing. Even a little, even this is, I am mad about the Dhamma or something. It's just a because who knows, whenever there is it will bring delirious thinking. Even there is a lot of delirious thinking, who knows, the next moment maybe there will be some nice thoughts. Even there is delirious thinking in between. I don't find it the same anytime. This is the point. I don't find the swimming pool. I don't find there will be some wise consideration. I only find when I listen to Dhamma. And that's why I'm listening Dhamma. Because for me it's different to listen Dhamma, to meet wise friends who reminds about the realities, and it's different to be associated with friends who are just enjoying the nice weather or something.
But what we've been talking about is how at any moment there are just conditioned Dhammas. So any time at all, there are just conditioned Dhammas, moments of seeing, moments of hearing, moments of thinking, any time at all. So the understanding has to come closer and closer to the understanding of reality, what appears now.
Yeah, but you mentioned that this is delirious thinking, and it's not...
Actually, it was a John who mentioned
it. But I mean, yeah, that's the point. I don't know.
But the delirious thinking, there's nothing wrong with it, it's just dumb.
Yeah, it's also experience.
It's not you that are delirious.
It's not me, mine, or yours, it's just a way of thinking that is not an understanding about realities at all.
When we are talking about the Eightfold Path without any understanding at all, is it delirious thinking or not?
Or with wrong understanding?
Any kind of akusala is not the right thinking.
It's good to read and to recite what is read in Atthasalini or any book. But the most important thing or benefit is the understanding of each word. Like Dhamma or Citta, Cetasika, thinking. Because who knows the moment when there is thinking, not in words, but is thinking. And it's not just only in Atthasalini, also in other books too. But it's good to remember where it comes from.
So I'm confused about the word awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was mentioned here, and I'm not sure what it was meant by awareness.
What do you think about that?
Well, in general terms, mm-hmm. I can say I'm aware of people
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's meant in Dhamma terms.
Right.
And I don't know in Dhamma terms what is meant by awareness.
But they are different.
They're different.
So only word doesn't help. Only understanding is helpful to see the difference between the general meaning of awareness and the awareness sati cetasika. Because now there is a citta arising with many cetasikas. But what can be known? Like passa, there must be. But who knows passa? Even it's explained in many books about it. Until then, when it appears to panya. Mm-hmm. So what we are talking about is true, mm-hmm. but it can appear only when panya is there, experiences it directly. Otherwise, it's only the intellectual to develop understanding of that which is real at this moment, which arises and falls away.
So it's better to talk of understanding rather than mm-hmm. awareness.
Right, because talking about awareness with right understanding or without right understanding.
I think I prefer not to use the word awareness in terms of Dhamma.
Yeah.